بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, in last night's Taraweeh Salah, we commenced with the 22nd juz, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses an incident that had taken place between Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his noble spouses, the Azwaj-e-Mutahharat radiallahu ta'ala anhun. As the Muslim army began conquering different lands, taking over, and the Islamic empire began to spread in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then quite a large amount of booty, spoils of war, had come in. The national treasury was now full. And therefore the Azwaj-e-Mutahharat, the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, put forth a request to him that, O Nabi of Allah, why don't you increase our annual stipend, our allowance that you generally give to us as your wives? Why don't you now increase this amount, seeing as Allah has opened up and given you means? When they posed this question to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to make their tarbiyat. Allah wanted that their gaze should not be on the gains of this world. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that inform them, or rather give them a choice. Tell them that if they want, then you are prepared to increase their stipend, increase their allowance, and you will give them what they are asking, but you will then divorce them and release them from your marriage. On the other hand, if they are happy with Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then they should be content with the amount that you are giving them. So the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam takes this message first of all to Aisha radiallahu anha. He goes wife by wife. He commences with Aisha radiallahu anha, and he puts forth the choice in her court that this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to me, and you make a decision. And then he says to her that before you can decide, go and make mashwara with your parents. Ask them what do they feel, what is the best decision for you to make. Aisha radiallahu anha realizes that this is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So she says to him that, is this something for me to make mashwara with my parents about? There's no need for me to even ask them. بَلْ أَخْتَارُ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ I choose Allah and His Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Saying this, she makes her choice. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam then goes on to the other Azwaj-e-Mutahharat one by one. He poses this question to them, that do you wish that I increase your stipend, and I will divorce you? Or you be content and happy with Allah and His Rasul, and whatever I give you, be happy with this. And each one of them in turn then say, أَخْتَارُ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ We choose Allah and His Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is spoken about, this choice that was given to the Azwaj-e-Mutahharat. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala outlines seven attributes, seven characteristics of the Azwaj-e-Mutahharat, and by extension, the Muslim woman of the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those characteristics and attributes that they should have within them. Ya Nisa an Nabi, Allah says, O consorts, O spouses of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, lastunnaka ahadin minan nisa, you are not like any ordinary woman. In ittaqaytun, if you have consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what characteristics should you have within yourself? Allah says, fala takhda'na bil qawl. The very first attribute, before Allah even speaks about salah, zakat, before speaking about the fard ibadat also, Allah says, فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَ بِالْقَوْلِ That if you are forced to speak to the opposite gender, then do not speak in an alluring tone. Do not speak in a seductive tone, in a light or soft tone. فَيَطْمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضٌ Why? Because that person who has a sickness in his heart, he has not purified his heart, and he has desire for strange woman, and he hears your soft voice, your sweet voice, then he may begin to desire you. And this will be extremely detrimental to him, that he is having evil thoughts regarding the wives of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So therefore the very first instruction is that do not speak in soft and sweet tones. وَقُلْنَا قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا Say what you have to say. وَقُلْنَا قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا means speak what is correct. If you are forced to converse with them, with some person of the opposite gender, sometimes somebody knocks on the door, or it is some situation of need, then speak whatever is correct, whatever is necessary, and do not go further than this. So this is the first instruction. Then Allah says, وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنْ And remain firmly clinging to your homes. Remain attached to your homes. In other words, this will be your parda, your hijab, is that you will remain as far as possible within the home. You will not go out unnecessarily. وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَا تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ الْأُولَى. And when you do come out, when you do emerge, then do not expose yourself as women would expose themselves in the former period of Jahiliyyah. As they would come out dressed indecently, immodestly, you do not come out in this manner. And here Mufassirin mentioned that by Allah speaking about al-jahiliyyah al-ula, the former period of ignorance, there is a subtle indication that there will be a second period of ignorance, which will come later on in the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when the very same practices that were found in jahiliyyah, in the first jahiliyyah, will also then be rife and common. Nevertheless, Allah instructs them to do these things, that do not speak in sweet, soft tones, remain firmly attached to your homes, do not expose yourselves indecently, immodestly. Then Allah speaks about ibadat, wa aqimna salah, establish your salah, wa atina zakat, discharge your zakat, wa ati'na Allah wa rasula, and obey Allah and His Rasul. And then the final command thereafter comes, وَذْكُرْنَ مَا يُتْلَى فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. Recite the verses that are recited in your homes. In other words, when Jibreel alayhi salam reveals wahi to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, this recitation takes place many a times in the homes of the Azwaj Mutahharat. So these verses that are normally recited in your homes, you recite them also. Make tilawat of the Quran. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ لَطِيفًا خَبِيرًا. So these are seven instructions, commands that are issued to the Azwaj Mutahharat, and by extension, the Muslim woman of the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As we can see from this, the primary instruction, the primary command is with regard to modesty. That they should protect their modesty, they should protect their chastity, they should not expose themselves, they should not unnecessarily come into contact with strange men. This is the beauty of a woman. The beauty of a woman lies in her modesty. In the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Aisha radiallahu anha, and various attributes that come. Allah speaks about al-mu'minat, they have iman. And one attribute Allah mentions, al-ghafilat, those women who are unmindful or unaware of the workings of the world. In other words, for lack of a better word, how we would say, when it comes to dunya, they are a bit slow. They are a bit backwards. They don't understand how things work. Ask them to do an EFT, she doesn't know what to do. What reference must I put? How do I do it? She doesn't understand how things work. Allah praises women like this. Why? Because her duty, her job, has got nothing to do with understanding and knowing the workings of dunya. Ulama explained that the duty, the objective of a Muslim woman is to produce the men of the ummah. Her duty is to be the first madrasa, the lap of the mother. She will make their tarbiyat, teach them imaniyat, trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, teach them salah, teach them Quran Sharif. Dunya, that's the father's job. For him now to break his head and teach his son how to drive the car and how to open the shop and how to stand behind the counter, the father will do this. But the woman of the ummah, Allah praises al-ghafilat, those who are unmindful and unaware of the workings of dunya. So we can see that the primary instruction here is of modesty, of haya. Nevertheless, after addressing the Azwaj-i-Mutahharat, on the second page of the 22nd Juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the incident of a sahabi by the name of Julaybib radiallahu anhu. A very unique sahabi, a very lengthy incident. Very quickly we'll discuss it. Julaybib radiallahu anhu was not blessed with physical beauty. He was not a very attractive person as far as his external features were concerned. He was short in stature. He was not blessed with any physical beauty. In fact, people would mock at him, laugh at him. He was not given much honor, much respect in society. And as time passed, of course, he was unable to get married. Nobody wanted to marry him. And therefore, fathers, when their daughters would become widows, then they would say that, please keep our daughters far from Julaybib, because he'll hear that our daughter is now available, and he'll immediately come and propose, outwardly, in a show of desperation, that nobody wants to marry him. Nevertheless, on one occasion, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says to a particular sahabi that I have a proposal for your daughter. So the sahabi, thinking that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself wants to propose, he says, by all means, O Nabi of Allah, I accept the proposal. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam then says to him, the proposal is not of me. It's not my proposal. But it's the proposal of Julaybib. I'm proposing on his behalf. Now, the Sahabi got cold feet. He realized that I gave the answer prematurely. I didn't even consult with my wife. So he says, O Nabi of Allah, I need to go and ask her mother. I need to see what she says. Knowing that his wife would not be happy. He goes home. He puts forth the proposal. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has brought a proposal. The mother of the girl asks, is it for the Nabi of Allah himself? No. Who is it for? For Julaybib. She says, how can we hand our daughter over to him? When so and so proposed, we turned him down. He wasn't good enough. He wasn't noble enough. He wasn't good looking enough. So many proposals came for her and we rejected them. How can we give her off to Julaybib? As this discussion is taking place between husband and wife, mother and father, this girl overhears and she comes into the room and she says, how dare you go against the instruction of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? Has he brought this proposal? They say yes. She says, in that case, go to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and ask him, is he happy with Julaybib as a husband for me? Then I am happy with this. Completely submissive to the will of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. The parents are taken aback, but she manages to convince them. The father goes back to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, O Nabi of Allah, we have made mashwara, this is what we have come to. The conclusion, if you are happy, we are happy. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, I am happy. The proposal is accepted. This girl is married off to Julaybib radiallahu anhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this verse, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ. It is not correct for a believing male, nor a believing female. إِذَا قَضَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا. When Allah and His Rasul have decided on a certain matter, أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ, that they say that I want to have a choice, I want to decide. So obviously this was restricted to this sahabi. There are certain matters in deen when it comes to proposals also. A person has a choice, he is not forced to accept the first proposal, she is not forced to accept the first proposal. But in this particular case, because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam strongly pushed it forward, and he was pleased with this particular proposal, Allah says that they should not even have thought of having a choice in the matter. وَمِنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا. Anyone who disobeys Allah and His Rasul, then he is clearly astray. So this marriage took place, and then Muhaddithin mentioned, outwardly it was a loss for this girl. She was married off to somebody who was not attractive, who was not handsome, not good looking. But look at the end result, the wisdom of the decision of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He says many years later, on the occasion of a certain battle, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is going through the ranks of those who have been martyred, and then he asks the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, هَلْ تَفْقِدُونَ مِنْ أَحَدٍ. Is there anyone missing from our ranks? Anyone who is not here? Perhaps his body is still on the battlefield. They look around. They say, there's nobody missing. We have already accounted for everyone. Again, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asks, anyone missing? Again, the answer comes no. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, I sense there is someone missing. There's somebody I'm looking for. I can't find him. And then he goes on to the battlefield. And he comes across the body of Julaybib radiallahu anhu. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam stands over his body and he says, قَتَلَ سَبَعَ فَقَتَلُوهُ. That look at how brave he was. He took the lives of 7 of the enemy. Eventually, after killing 7 of them, they overpowered him and killed him. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, هَذَا مِنِّي وَأَنَا مِنْهُ. Julaybib is a part of me, I am a part of him. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam then proceeds with the burial of Julaybib radiallahu anhu. Can there be a greater honor? That he is a part of me, I am a part of him. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam bids farewell to him in this manner. Muhaddithin mention that after the demise of Julaybib radiallahu anhu, this young girl was widowed. He says, I did not find a home in Madinah Munawwara that had more wealth and more barakat than this home. Although he may not have left behind much, but the barakah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in that home, this woman never had to worry about earning a living for the rest of her life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took care of her because she submitted to the will, the decision of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So this was the incident of Julaybib radiallahu anhu. And thereafter we commence with Surah Yasin, which we completed in today's Taraweeh Salah. Just briefly, we will mention a few virtues of Surah Yasin, just as an encouragement for us, especially in the month of Ramadan, because we are awake seri time. Sometimes we're making tilawat of Quran, then we come for Fajr Salah. Sometimes the recitation of Yasin Sharif, we forget. And we go home, people are tired, we want to take rest. Two narrations. Maqil bin Yasar radiallahu anhu mentions, that person who will read Surah Yasin with the desire for akhirat in his heart. His mindset, when he reads it, he's not just reading, but he sits down and he thinks of the akhirat. And he has desire for akhirat in his heart. And he reads Surah Yasin in this manner. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is prepared to forgive all of his sins. We know in these last 10 nights, Laylatul Qadr, or the odd nights, people are spending the entire night awake, searching for the forgiveness of Allah. That's what we're looking for. We're trying to secure the forgiveness of Allah. Allah is prepared to give it to us every single day of our lives. Just recite Surah Yasin with this desire in the heart, that I desire a high position in the Akhirah, Allah will forgive all of our sins. And not only is the benefit credit, but ulama say the benefit of Yasin Sharif is cash also. We'll see benefit in dunya. Hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, that person who will read Surah Yasin in the morning, Allah Ta'ala says, I will take care of his needs for the entire day. Whatever needs he has, whether it be with regard to his business, deliveries must go off smoothly, payments must be made, customers must pay on time, and the suppliers mustn't give me a hard time, decisions that he has to make with regard to his family, his wife, his children, whatever needs and requirements he has, I will take care of it for the entire day. He reads Surah Yasin at night, I will take care of his needs for the entire night. These virtues alone, my dear brothers, once we understand this, it will become impossible for us to miss Surah Yasin. A person wakes up late and he's a coffee drinker. He says, I can't leave home without having my cup for the day. Even if I take it in a cup to go, I'll drink it in the car on the way to work. I must have my morning fix. If we understand what Surah Yasin will do for us, this is our morning fix. Even if I woke up late, I can't miss it. Even if I have to read it in the car, I don't know it, put some reciter, some qari, listen to it at least, read along with, but I can't miss my Surah Yasin for the day. This is the benefit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us. Allah give us tawfiq in the month of Ramadan, we have time, seri time. At least we make this a priority, together with our khatam of Quran, we should not forget the recitation of Surah Yasin every day. Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.